From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his final message in this series on the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. In the previous message, he was dealing with verses 31 through 39 under the theme of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. He reminded us that the entire chapter is an exposition of verse 1, where the Apostle Paul declared, "There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In verse 31, Paul asked the question, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" In answer, Dr. Cairns presented five certainties of sovereign grace, which Paul sets forth in the concluding verses of the chapter. These are the truths that God is for us. He has delivered up his Son for us. He has justified us in Christ. Christ has performed a complete work for us. And because of that, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. In the light of these glorious truths, there are precious consequences that follow for all of Christ's redeemed people. First, there is no more subjugation to the devil's domination, nor can any man succeed ultimately in his opposition to God's children. God is working all things, even the things that appear to be against us, for our good and for his glory. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled, Five Consequences of the Certainties of Sovereign Grace. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today bears the title, You Deal with God. The text is found in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 9. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. The Lord thus makes known his sparing mercies. It may be that the listener is now under heavy displeasure, and everything threatens his speedy doom. Let the text hold him up from despair. The Lord now invites you to consider your ways and confess your sins. If he had been man, he would long ago have cut you off. If he were now to act after the manner of men, it would be a word and a blow, and then there would be an end of you. But it is not so, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his ways above your ways. You rightly judge that he is angry, but he keepeth not his anger forever. If you turn from sin to Jesus, God will turn from wrath. Because God is God and not man, there is still forgiveness for you, even though you may be steeped up to your throat in iniquity. You have a God to deal with, and not a hard man, nor even a merely just man. No human being could have patience with you. You would have wearied out an angel, as you have wearied your sorrowing father. But God is long-suffering. Come and try him at once. Confess, believe, and turn from your evil way, and you shall be saved.
Thank you.
greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preaching during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
I want us to look at the other side of these verses that we have considered to extract the great certainties. And I want us to think of five consequences of the certainties of sovereign grace. We have seen these certainties. Now from them, there are five great consequences or conclusions that we may draw. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. And the first great consequence is no subjugation. That's the force of verse 31. Who can be against us? Remember that no opposition can ever reverse God's grace or bring a saint back under Satan's dominion. That's the aim of opposition. The aim of the devil and his crew in opposing God's people is to cut them off from God. It is to make them become, or at least feel that they have become, destitute of God's grace. To convince them that God is no longer for them, that God is their enemy, and that they are lost. It is to suck them back into Satan's thraldom. Now, the promise is, no opposition can ever succeed in doing that. Again, remember this, that all the opposition we encounter in this world, all the suffering, all the affliction that may be heaped upon us, all the persecution of which the Savior spoke, is all part of the Lord's plan. I don't pretend for one moment to understand the details of the plan. I don't understand why at this point in time God is allowing hundreds and thousands of his people to lie incarcerated in prisons around the world. I don't understand why some Christians have had to watch their churches burn to the ground and their houses burn along with them. I don't understand why God has the blood of the martyrs to become the seed of the church. But I do know that this is happening. And I do know that God is saying whatever is happening is not happening outside of his decree. It's not happening despite his decree. It is not happening in any way that will overthrow his decree. He is the sovereign God. He is not a spectator. He is not merely a cheerleader. He is the supreme director. And while this does not in any way remove the responsibility of men, while men are still responsible for their own voluntary choices and actions, yet in his own inscrutable fashion, the sovereign God works all things after the counsel of his own will and in the fulfillment of his own purpose. And that purpose is the ultimate glory of his people with Christ. So that even the opposition comes into part of the all things that are working together for our good. Remember what I said when we looked at that text, our good is not necessarily our current feeling of comfort. Our good is not necessarily to be defined in terms that the world would say, ah, that's good. Our good is our ultimate conformity to the image of Jesus Christ, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. So despite all the opposition, the promise of God for his people, Isaiah chapter 41, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, one I use very frequently when I am dealing with the sick and especially with those who are going through very deep waters. Verse 10 of Isaiah 41, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. That's the meaning of Romans 8:31. That's the meaning of it. Who shall be against us? This is the end of the story. God says, I will uphold you. And I will put them to shame. I will confound them, and they will be as nothing. The reason is, verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. That's God's promise. We're not going to be subjugated by the devil or by his crowd. If God is for us, who could be against us? Listen to what he says, Isaiah 43, the first two verses. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now let's stop there. Is there a sweeter sentence in the English language or any language? Fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. And here's the consequence. When thou passest through the waters, not if, but when. When thou passest through the waters, affliction, trouble, sickness, weakness, and even death itself. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Do you get that? What's the river that most people live in dread of? The Jordan of death. Many a time, especially when you're young, and you're healthy, the thought of death is so alien that one of two things can happen. A, it never crosses your mind that you might die, and that's very foolish, because the young die just as much as the old. But the thought can be overwhelming. There is the fear. I'll be flooded in this awful river of death. No, the Lord says, when you're passing through the river, its waters shall not overthrow thee or overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The God of the three Hebrew children is our God today. And when they were in the furnace, there was not even the smell of the fire about them. The flame couldn't kindle upon them. This is the promise. Take again what he says in Isaiah 54:17. This is the promise to God's people. This is why he's saying, who can be against us? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now he admits that weapons will be formed against us, and weapons will be hurled against us, and forces will be employed against us. The devil will do his best to bring us down, but the promise is no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. Is this for me? Is this a promise I can take? Is this a promise you can take? Listen carefully. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. In other words, if you are one of the justified by grace through faith, and you have imputed to you the righteousness of Christ, and you are serving Christ, and in His service you are cursed, you're opposed, weapons are hurled against you, God says they will not prosper. And you will be able to condemn every tongue that will rise against you. This is the heritage of God's servants. God is for us. So who can be against us? There's no subjugation. God's people are free. They've been given a glorious liberation. And if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. There's no return. Salvation's a one-way ticket. There's no return to the devil's embrace.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.